Well, good morning. It's so good to be with you all, and we want to thank you for the opportunity to come and share. You know, while Jake is away, he's asked a few folks to come and share. It is a blessing for us to be able to do this, and we've been so excited to have this opportunity to share with you all, and we like to share together. We've been teaching a class upstairs, and in the last 12 weeks, we've talked about a lot of grief and sorrow issues. We've talked about anxiety. In the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about anger, and how to manage that better from a biblical perspective. And so we just really have enjoyed our life in this church. And by the way, we have our daughter here with us. Our daughter lives out of state. She lives in South Carolina. Brooke. This is Brooke here. And, you know, Brooke has a long history in this church. When Brooke was 1 week old, we sat right up there on the left side of the balcony. When she was 1 week old, we brought her to church for the first time here. And, you know, Coach Bob, Pastor Bob, baptized her right up here. And she has been a tremendous blessing to us. And in mentioning Pastor Bob, you know, I go way back with Bob. And Bob is, when Bob first came to this church, Bob was a younger man. And he played basketball. He played basketball downstairs. We used to get together, you know, just run the court together. And Bob has always been a big guy. And I can remember one time, Bob had his arms out like this. And I was trying to fight through a screen. And I ran into his arm. And I knocked me on the floor. And he was on my team. This is how strong he was. I can vividly remember just running into his arm like with a piece of wood. And, you know,
he was really into weightlifting at that time.
He was
had
just,
good results.
He kind of reminded, if you know anything about basketball, he kind of reminded you of a Karl Malone. He used to play for the Utah Jazz. Big dude, clean the boards and run the floor. And that was Bob, you know. And but Bob has been such a tremendous blessing to Lynn and I through the years. And we were gone from here for 30 years, and we've come back now, and we consider this to be our home. And you know, as Chad was saying, there's something about having brothers and sisters that know enough about your life to speak into it. And when you hear this phrase, it's kind of a churchy phrase, church body. Mm-hmm. We feel as you all are members of our body. And so when we're here, some of y'all we know better than others, you know, and some of y'all we don't know hardly at all, but you're still...
But we consider all of you our family, our church family. Amen. You're our brothers and sisters in Christ. And even when we were away, there were people at this church that prayed for us and lifted us up. And so we're just so blessed to be here. And it's part of our faith walk has always been to be connected with the church body and be involved in weekly life of worshiping, serving, fellowshipping, and learning together. And I think that's just so important if you're a new believer to be able to connect with that body, because as Chad was sharing so beautifully, what a difference it makes to have people come alongside of you and to live life with you. And these past 2 weeks, we've heard Gabby and Brian share from John 6, and it's talking about the miracle of feeding the 5,000. And this is hard. We can't get close.
Yeah, which is tough because
I'm very tough. And you're a magnet.
She's quite a wreck. I can hardly keep away from her. Yeah, so
we'll try.
We'll try. Next 20 minutes.
But Gabby, 2 Sundays ago, taught about how God took something small, a little boy's lunch, and he turned it into something big and did this miracle. And she talked about how small gestures can sometimes be very huge in the life of another believer. And
Brian, you know, by the way, I feel like I'm speaking slowly after Brian last week. You know, hey, is Brian, are you here? He's not here. He's got some of the responsibility. But sometimes when Brian talks, he has words per minute that exceed mine. He can say 2 messages in 30 minutes. He talks so fast. He has so much to say, but I feel like I'm speaking slowly, but I'm going to do my best. But, you know, Brian really talked about the fact that, you know, we really don't want to waste things of God's activity in our life. When God does something in your life, you don't want to waste it. If he gives you something to do, if he gives you a truth, if he encourages you in some way, you want to do something with that. You do not want to to minimize that, that is the most important activity in your life. If God says something to you in his word or through a brother, you know, sometimes Mike will call me throughout the week and he'll say, Mark, drive down I-70. What do you think about this? You guys ever had a phone call from Mike like that? Yeah, a lot of you guys have had that happen. You know, and I literally believe that is God speaking through Mike to me. And that's one of the reasons we want to show up here. Linda and I want to show up here every week. You guys speak to us in simple words and more complicated words about God's activity. And that's the reason we want to be here every week. Not that we have to be here, but because we want to be. Because you guys encourage us, you challenge us. Sometimes, you know, you smack us on the back of the head. Mark, what are you doing, dude? You know, don't do that, you know? And so it's very encouraging for us to be here. And Brian did a wonderful job about not wasting God's activity in our life. And, you know, today we're going to be in John chapter 6. The next two verses we're going to be looking at are John 14 and 15. John 6, 14 and 15. Okay. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to the mountain by himself. And so these are the two verses that follow the activity, you know, this huge miracle, the most public miracle to date. This is probably the fifth or sixth miracle that Jesus performed, but it was in front of 5,000 people. And 5,000 men, at least. We know there were 5,000 men present when this miracle occurred, this feeding. And as Brian said last week, when he was finished, there was leftover.
There was leftovers. And so we're not PowerPoint people, but we thought we'd bring some visual aids to kind of help you grasp the magnitude of that miracle. And when you look at this auditorium, we were once participants in a wedding here in which this auditorium was totally full, and all of the balcony was full, and some people were standing around. And somebody told me that was over 400, almost 500 people in this auditorium. So when you think about 5,000 men, that was 10 churches this size full of people. And then you add the women and children that they didn't count into the story. So, you know, you add them. So that was over 5,000 people. And when we think of a loaf of bread, we tend to think of our American-sized 22 loaves of bread, which even that, if you had five loaves of that, it would be a big miracle. But his loaves were probably, this is a little boy's lunch. It was probably more like pita bread, the small things. It was only five of these little things and two sardines. We didn't bring the fish, so. And that's what he used. And when you think about, Brian talked about how everybody was full. Not only were they full, but there were 12 baskets left over. And some of you guys, when you thought of baskets, might be thinking like the size of our offering plate. But what I thought of was, in Japan, where we lived, there's these baskets that the rice, people in the rice fields use, and they put these straps around their back. And so when I thought of 12 baskets of bread left over, I thought of 12 big baskets like this. Can you think how much bread it would take to fill that? And that's how much was left over. That is the magnitude of the miracle that Jesus did with those small loaves of bread and two fishes and fed all those.
And so, you know, when that many people saw this miracle done and they saw the leftovers, even the disciples were really, it was becoming firm in their mind, this was the Son of God. He was who he said he was. They began to think, you know, I don't know what it was like, you know, geopolitically at that time, but they wanted him to be an earthly king. They wanted him to form a kingdom and lead them out of their whatever situation they were in need of, whether it was poverty or they wanted power, but they wanted a different life, and they wanted Jesus to be this earthly ruler. And Jesus sensed this, and that's what that verse says. And when the crowd was coming towards him, he said visually that he saw the crowd coming towards him, and they wanted to make him king. He wasn't there to be a king. He was born in a manger, and he was there to be a servant. And so what did he do? He withdrew to a lonely place, a mountain place. And this is a pattern you'll see in Jesus' life. Many times when he had done significant ministry, he would withdraw to a lonely place. He would withdraw to either a mountainside or to the desert. And I would suggest to you, anytime you're in a place of stress in your life, and we all have those, I would strongly urge you to think about withdrawing in some way. And sometimes that we don't have the luxury of going away for the weekend or even for an afternoon or a morning. But if you turn the radio off on the way to work, or you don't put your headphones in on the way to work, and you simply say, Father, fill me right now. Let me sense your peace. Let me sense your presence. That's withdrawing. And we need to do this every day, sometimes multiple times a day. I have found myself on really sad times in my life or challenging times in my life, doing this on an hourly basis. Father, fill me now. Let me sense your presence. Shut my mouth. Sometimes it's let me speak lovingly. Let me speak boldly to somebody. But that wanting to withdraw and be by himself is something that we need to have in our life. We want to be like Jesus, so let's do those things, folks. And again, Lynn and I have the luxury now that we're retired to withdraw and to be alone. I do this a lot. I used to do it in my work. I would go off of these long trips sometimes overseas, and I would come back pretty fried out. Mm-hmm. And
you needed to withdraw.
And wonder, you know, Lord, why am I here doing this now? You know, what is it that you would have me do here? How can I be your agent? How can I be something for you now? And sometimes I just want to get on a plane and come back. And one couple of times, I had Bob's. This is back, you guys aren't going to believe this, but we didn't used to have a thing called cell phone. And we didn't have cell phones. And I had one of the first cell phones
In Asia,
because of the kind of work I did. And I one time called Bob.
It was huge. It's a big old sat phone.
It's a great big phone thing. It had like a satellite connection. And I was in the middle of an earthquake zone trying to do some things, and one night the it was in the aftershock period, and the building was moving up and down about 6 or 8 inches, and just like somebody picking up a building and setting it down. It's the loudest thing I've ever heard in my life, and I called Bob, and I think it was daytime here because it's about 11 at night, so it'd be about noon here, and Bob said, "You doing okay?" He said, "You doing okay?" I said, "No. I'm not doing okay. And would you pray for me?" He said, "Sure." And so he prays. And I immediately felt more calm. I felt more centered. And he said, "Let me tell you something, Mark. God's got you right where he wants you. You know?" And I don't know where you're at right this morning, but if you're in the midst of a situation that looks untenable, that looks maybe even something you can't go on with, just trust that God may have you. He may have you right where he wants you. You're touching people's lives you would never touch otherwise. Mm-hmm. You know, he's positioned you in his economy of time. You know, he sees things for eternity. You know, I don't know why it is the way it is. You know, why questions are always difficult to answer, but you know, he's got you right where he wants you, I'd be willing to guess. And so don't forget that.
And during times like this, following Jesus' example of withdrawing, and it's just so healthy. So many good things can come from that. And one of those things is you can just rest in his presence. Mark mentioned that we've been teaching this class for Sunday school, and a couple of Sundays ago, one of our moms came in, and it had been a really rough day with her kids. And she came in, and she sat down, and she just instantly relaxed. She's like, she was having an escape from that responsibility of motherhood for just a brief period of time. But you just saw her start to rest and relax. How much more when we stop from the busyness and responsibilities of life and enter in the presence of Jesus, is he going to give us Amen. Peace and calm us and teach us in that? So even if it's, as Mark said, it doesn't have to, if you can't get away for extended periods of time, just taking that break. Lord, be with me in this moment. Lord, help me in this situation. Lord, give me rest. Use those little minutes of time that you get to capture that.
Yeah, so rest in his presence. The second thing we would suggest you do that being with Jesus allows you to do is recall your purpose. You know, Jesus knew what his purpose was. And being alone with him helps us remember. Do you know what your purpose is here on this earth? Have you ever thought about it? There's some big overarching reason God placed you alive at this place, in this time, in this city, in this situation. What is your purpose in that? And I would suggest to you, if you wonder about that, begin to ask God to reveal that to you. I'll tell you right now, of all the things I've ever done in my life, of all the cool people I've ever met, I've met some really cool people. I met Joe Montana one time in Tokyo, and I met Archie Manning. I was a quarterback in high school. I told Archie, I said, Archie, I played a little quarterback in high school. He goes, so, you know.
He wasn't impressed.
He wasn't, and Joe is too cool to believe, but of all the cool people I've met, of all the places I've been, of all the wonderful experiences I've had, nothing in my life compares to knowing Jesus Christ as my Savior. Yeah. And being in a right relationship with him and knowing his word is the guide for my life. Nothing compares to that. There's nothing even close to that. And in the life of our daughter, you know, Brooke is she's actually Dr. Brooke Whitworth. She's very successful in what she does, but nothing that she does makes me more proud than the fact she loves Jesus and she loves other people. That is all that matters to me, honestly. So guys, that's my purpose in life is to love him and to love you all and love those people around me that don't know him. And that's it. It's a real simple little statement. You know, that's what I'm 67. That's what I've come to at 67. It's not much, but it's huge. It's real simple. So rest in his presence, recall our purpose, and then restore our power.
Restore our power. And just as believers, we all got that Holy Spirit living inside of us, but sometimes we need to tap into it and just to get alone with Jesus and allow him to speak into our lives, to re-energize us, to revitalize us, to be all that he wants us to be. And I remember, we've used Pastor Bob as an example so much today, but I remember being terrified when we went to Japan. And one of the things that Bob said to us is just be prayed up, have people pray for you, and then just go and be yourself. And so prayer and tapping into what God has for you can just help you live your daily life in the midst of struggle, in regular life, even when it's going good, but especially at times when you're struggling, when you're anxious, when you're fearful, he can help you. So just tap into that power that he has for you.
So we're resting, we're recalling, we're restoring, and then we're renewing our passion. Sometimes, even in the life of a very devoted believer, your passion can begin to get dull. And I've talked with people who are really busy here at church and who sometimes find themselves doing a lot of things, and they're just doing it because they committed to it, and they're just doing it because it seems like, well, this is what I've signed up to do, so I'm going to do it. But if you don't have that passion driving you, people really feel it. You know, those people that are most effective in their work are gifted at what they're doing and they're passionate about it. And those people tend to stay in those kind of roles longer. If you're gifted for something and then you're passionate about it, man, you know, Lord can really use that. And, this ability to renew our passion looks like being more patient, being more kind, being more gentle, being more, you know, loving. You know, in our life, if I can't show the fruit of the Spirit towards Linda, you know, one of the things I do in my personal life is each year I take a fruit of the Spirit and I try to concentrate on it that year. Last year was gentleness. And
being gentle was really wearing on him about by Christmas time. He was counting the days that he had to be gentle to the end of the year. So.
Brooke, let me just ask you. If you looked at 2021 and me on gentleness, she's a professor, what grade would you give me in gentleness for 2020? Oh, she's giving it this. Would it be a B? A B? That's not, don't clap. That's not good. That's not good. So all year, I read about gentleness. I tried to talk gentle. I tried to act gentle, especially towards Brooke and Linda. Because if you can't do it with the people closest to you, you can't do it with guys at work. You can't do it with people on your team. So all year, by December 31st, I was so sick of being gentle. I was like, yeah. You know, so
we were really, Brooke and I were really concerned that January 1st we were going to see the wrath of Mark instead of gentleness of Mark.
But I held off.
Because he's had all this stored up, you know.
But this year, guys, my fruit of the Spirit is kindness. So I've been reading about kindness and how to be kind and trying to be more kind to Linda and to other people. And, we're just 3 months into it, but... I don't even want to ask for a grade because it's probably like C minus or something like that. Because it's a new fruit of the Spirit, more or less. I'm trying it on.
He's working on it. He's a work in progress.
I'm a work in progress.
And we get to help him.
Yeah, and I think it's always good to be somewhat transparent with those around you. If you're working on something, if you're focused on something in your life, let the people who love and know you best know about it. Not that they're going to like, oh, Linda, way to go. You weren't patient with me again today.
All we have to say is gentleness or kindness. And he's like, oh.
Brooke used to live in, one of Brooke's favorite phrases is when we're in the car. And so I honk my horn. She used to live in Hawaii. She lived in Hawaii for 3 years. She'll go, aloha, Dad. because aloha spirit means you never honk your horn. You're always patient. You're always kind. And so
it just mortified her when we were in Hawaii and he would honk his horn. She said, we don't do that here.
Don't honk your horn. Don't honk your horn. It mortified her. But guys, I'm just telling you, let the people around you know, hey, the next month, if you see me being a little short with you, would you just kind of kindly mention that, or would you give me a reminder, shoot me a text, hey, the other day I heard you not be, very kind to Linda, which you, Mark, you might want to watch it, Then I'll tell you to mind your own business, So, anyway.
Very kindly, yeah. Yes. He will kindly tell you to mind your own business.
Hey. Well, guys, so let's just remember now, let's try not to push Jesus away with our behavior. Let's try to do things that are consistent with who he is and what he would have us to do. And then let's take every opportunity to be alone with him. It's only good things are going to happen. We're going to be able to rest better. We're going to be able to recall what he's called us to. We're going to restore and be renewed in the midst of that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead. We've got about 2 minutes. Hey, guys, we got Coach Bob here with us today. Tony, can I share anything? You're not going to be with us for a couple of weeks. Next Sunday, Bob's going to be with us, and he's going to be gone for a while. He's having some things go on, and so. Bob is getting a new knee. Bob had his hip replaced, and now he's moving on to his knee. And so we're going to miss you. But Bob, I was going to maybe ask you if you would just pray us out of here today. Thank you so much, Bob. Just stay right there. Stay right there.
Good group. God bless you all. Thank you, Mark and Linda. Thank you, worship team. Let's just pray. Lord, you're so good. You have blessed guys like me for over 50 years because I said yes to you. And I believe there were people here today who said yes when Daniel was praying. Yes to you. Lord, we open our hearts to you. You are absolutely the best. And Lord, none of us got here on our own. Mark and Linda, they weren't born missionaries. They surrendered to you, and then they surrendered again and again and again. Lord, help us just to do that. Help us just to give ourselves to you and let you do everything you want to do with us. Bless us, we pray. Bless the health of people here. Bless their families. Bless their relationships. Lord, help us to pick a fruit of the Spirit led by you and to work on it. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.